Let's pray before we go to God's word. Father, we come to you, desperate to hear from you. Lord, there are many words flying around us, many images, many thoughts, many songs, many things that we often feel like bring confusion. God, we pray that you would bring clarity. We pray that you'd bring something clear for each of us today and for us together. We want to hear your voice in these moments as we've been hearing your voice and hearing from you already. Speak, Jesus, and help us to obey. Amen. I want to talk to us a little bit today about seasons and transitions. And I want you to think about what season you're in and what the transition might be between one season and another in your life, or maybe seasons. So we got some kids here. I want to know if any of the kids know what this is. Anybody know what this is? You're not a kid. Give the kids a chance. He's right, though. But this is not a tomato. You said this was a tomato. Ah, a tomato plant. Now, this is a tomato. Now, tell me something. Where does this come from? The grocery store. Thank you. Now, the kids all know that. They got that one right. Comes from the grocery store. Well, how did it get to the grocery store? On a truck. Okay, but before that, where does this come from? Huh? The kids. Look at the kids' answer now. Where did this come from? Somebody said the ground, from the farm. Okay? All right. Specifically, where did it come from? A seed, okay. It came from this. This is a tomato plant, right? But it's got no tomatoes on it. How can this be a tomato plant if it has no tomatoes on it? It's still growing. All right. That's right. It's still growing. It hasn't gotten tomatoes yet. There's a couple little blossoms here, aren't there? Those might become tomatoes. With a little bit of... Now, I got another question for you. Where did this come from? The seed. The ground, yeah. It came from a seed in the ground. Where did the seed come from? The store, yeah. Could have come from the store. A tomato! That's right! So, which came first, the tomato or the tomato plant? Well, the tomato plant came first and then came a tomato, but in order, the tomato had to plant, you need a tomato to get a tomato plant, right? So which came first? Well, the creator came first, the one who created it all, and the gardener came first, the one who planted the tomato in the soil. And scripture actually tells us in John 15 that the Father is the gardener. The one who plants the tomato and cuts off things and takes care of it. And actually, there's a whole bunch of metaphors and similes and analogies in Scripture about plants and farming, because people did a lot of that. Now, if the Bible had been written here, it probably would have been about stores and trucks and other things. But most of us can still identify with some plants. Now, have any of you had a tomato plant in your yard last year? Okay, do you have one this year? Anybody have? Okay. You had one last year. Is that right? So where is your tomato plant from last year? Huh? In the compost. Okay. So the tomato plant from last year is not bearing any fruit this year. Is that right? It's in the compost. Huh. And what happened to the tomatoes from last year? You enjoyed them, they're gone. So if you wanted some more tomatoes, you would have to plant them. So this is part of what was planted in this pot before we got a plant from the store and replanted it in that pot. So there's some compost that goes back to rotting in order to give food for the next season, right? So the fruit from one season and the plant from another season ends up in the ground rotting so that you can have another plant, right? You need both the seed and you need the rotting leftovers from last season to give nutrition to that new seed, right? Actually, you know, this is not a seed. There's a bunch of seeds in it. The rest of this is just stuff that's made to rot and to give food to the seeds, right? So that they will grow. So between those times, you have this, right? You have, just a few months ago, this is what we had, right? Nothing. Everything was bare. There was kind of neutral time, winter time, a time when the soil was taking a rest, right? A fallow time, a time when the compost was composting and the last year's tomato plant was rotting so that it would be ready for this year. And see, this is actually cheating. We bought a plant that had been planted in the winter. This is the stuff we planted to this year. I think this is cilantro, actually. My wife planted it, so this is the season of spring, right? So in the fall, we harvest things, we enjoy things, and then things kind of compost and rot, and we spend some time. Now, a year ago, well, let's go back. A year and a half ago, Pastor Jim preached a theme message to us. He used Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 1. Does anybody remember that? A year to thrive. And Jeremiah 17, the main point is don't trust people, trust God. And we have trusted God for the last year. Psalm 1, the main point is to walk in God's word. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. So they're talking about a particular kind of tree that's close to the water, where the dry period and the drought doesn't take it away, but every season it bears fruit. Now, but it doesn't bear fruit every season, right? But it doesn't fail to bear fruit when it's the season to bear fruit. Now, a year and a half ago, Pastor Jim, on behalf of the elders, also asked me if I would be willing, if they needed it, to do a little bit of interim pastoring for a few months. The plan was a much quicker transition than we ended up having. You know, that's not the first time that's happened. If you want to look in Exodus 13, 17, it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. Now, I have taken a bus ride from Jerusalem to Cairo. It took me a day. I got up in the morning when the sun rose, and by the time the sun set, we were in Cairo. It's not very far from Egypt to Israel. But God didn't take them the shorter way. It goes on, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath that they would take him back when they return. Notice that it takes time, and sometimes the times don't always make sense to us. So Joseph wanted to go home, and he said, so when I die, bring me back there. Now, I don't think Joseph had any idea it was going to take them 400 years to get back there. Now, God had intentionally brought them to Egypt. But then things changed in Egypt, and now it was time to leave Egypt. God leads you into periods and times when things are good. And he intentionally brings you there, and they had a good time. And then Pharaoh changed, and things changed. And now God led them out. But interestingly, he didn't just lead them. Here's what I think we tend to from one season straight into the next. And actually, I think our society is a little twisted. Our society believes that everything should always be growth. Progress, progress, progress. The economy should always be growing. We should never have a recession. Never have a time when things dip off. You should never have a time when you're unemployed. You should never go from a job where you're getting this much money to less money. You should always get a promotion. You should always get more. You should always have a higher degree. And growth should always be happening. Now, the only way to do that is with a lot of artificial fertilizer. Right? Which we get from oil that was from plants that died millions of years ago. So the only way to get fertilizer is from plants. Now, we can dig up the stuff that died millions of years ago or thousands of years ago, however long it was. But it's still got to come from that growth process. We can try to hurry it up. We can try to push things and put them in a hothouse. But it doesn't always happen. God's economy isn't always that everything is just growth, growth, growth. Sometimes it gets to be harvest time and then some fallow time, some time when it takes some time to get from one season to another. And to go from that season to the next season, we'll get to this scripture, but Jesus says the seed has to fall into the ground and die and rot and then be there a while before it grows up again. So this year, we used as the theme message, we talked about the Israelites coming, this year of increasing trust. And we talked about the Israelites coming to the promised land. So God had a plan for them to go to Sinai, get some retraining, get some new direction, understand who they were going to be as a people. He had about a year planned for that. They spent this time at Sinai. They got the law. He was teaching them stuff about how to depend on him for food and water and all this stuff. They got to the promised land, and then the change had happened. They'd gotten there, but they weren't ready for the transition. I've been reading a couple of books. This one talks about that transition is different from change. So change can happen externally. You get to the border of the promised land, but the transition hadn't happened internally. Sometimes it takes some time for the internal transition to happen, even when the external transition has already happened. Okay? So they get to the border of the promised land, and they still see themselves as grasshoppers. They haven't really gotten a hold of how great God is internally. So what do they say? Let's go back to Egypt. Let's appoint a new leader and go back. So they're still Egyptians in their minds. They're not really Israelites yet. So sometimes change takes longer than necessary because we don't have the faith to move into the next transition. But God still planned a good year for them to make what's a one-day journey on a bus now, but it would have been weeks maybe. So I think God had planned for us a longer transition as a body than we expected. And a different transition than we expected. But I think our body has done a good job of trusting God, walking at the pace that he took us. And when one door closed, saying, okay, where's the next one? And we've been walking through you, with you on this past, well, for the past 35 years, but for the past year, we've been walking this road together and thinking about our own transition and what that meant. But there's a time and a season for everything. So now they get back, and God says, okay, the faithless generation is going to die. The next generation comes up. Joshua, who had faith, becomes the new leader. We read this before when we introduced our year of increasing trust. Joshua 1, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people across the Jordan into the land I am giving them. So God says the time has come. And now the time has come. It's been a long year of transition, more than we expect. A lot of things has happened. Pastor Jim, he himself used the analogy of, well, you got to cut down the big tree sometime. I said, well, transplant the big tree sometimes. So he's been transplanted to Pilgrim Center and some other things. And he said you have to do that in order for the saplings to grow up. And we've seen some saplings, or I don't know, I hate to call them saplings, but some smaller trees growing up, some younger ones. Pastor Ben and Pastor Andrew and Terry and Michon and the elders, and many of you in different roles in different places that you're doing your ministry have really been growing and blossoming, and it's changed. And you know, I think actually we're all at different seasons. So, this was a fallow season, but this isn't really what's been happening. It's not like nothing has been happening. There's been a little bit of some fallow and some clearing some land, but I spent a little time during the sabbatical up at the house where I grew up, and among trees that we planted 40 years ago. And you could harvest them now. These pine trees are big. We also planted some potatoes in the garden that we always planted with the Ford 8N 1948 tractor and the potato planter that was originally made to go behind horses. And it's still working. My dad's 90-some. He was out planting potatoes, of course. It's a new season. So there's some things that are, and I was also up in Jan's. Jan's father bought a farm 70 years ago almost, planted some trees, and has kept planting trees. There's also seedlings that he just planted. So some of those crops are still growing. He's got 70-year-old trees there that he planted. There's also some hay land that he keeps going for 5 years or so before he replants it. There's also some new crops, some things that come even more than once a year. The rye and vetch is growing up together, and the organic stuff and the irrigated stuff there's different crops going on. What I'm trying to say is, in our body, we have some 70-plus-year-old trees that are growing and doing well, and we have some area that we're clearing to put in a new crop. And all of those things are kind of happening at the same time. Now, actually, in your life, I wonder what the seasons are. And they may not all be the same. So we have a chronological life you may be at the beginning of, you may be nearer the end of, you may be someplace in between. And at the same time, you might be older, but entering into a new season of retirement. You might be, where is your life at? What time is it in your life, in your chronological life, in your vocational life, your work, your study? Where is your life at in your relationships, in your family, in different areas of your life, in your Christian life? Maybe you haven't begun. Maybe you haven't been born again yet into the body. Maybe you're old and vibrant. Maybe you need a little cultivating. I don't know. Where are things at in your life? Let me give you a minute to think about that. Where is your life at? Different areas of your life. Jesus, a number of times in the Gospel of John, his mother says, they need some wine. He says, my time has not come yet. A number of times he says, the time has not come yet. But then there comes a time when he says, the time is here. In John 12, he comes in with on this donkey and everybody's praising him and they're saying, the king is here. And then right after that, if you look at John 12, open your Bibles, there's a Bible in front of you. John 12. Let me make one other comparison. I'm not going to go to this scripture, but Jesus talks about our lives as different kinds of soil. And that's too big a different direction. But I also want to make the point that our lives can receive the word in different ways, right? And sometimes be distracted by some weeds, the toils of this life, and sometimes not have enough depth. I want to say that this congregation is good soil. It's a good farm. And I was talking about some big trees and some areas that we're clearing for new planting. But I think this congregation is great soil. And there are some people who have come and gone. There are the Newhouse sisters that used to sit right over here for years who have come and gone, and they left their deposit here, and they left their inheritance here, and they made a great deposit here. There are different people who've had different seasons here and have left something here. And because of that, I think this is just a rich soil, rich farm. And there are some people who have been growing here for years, and some of you might have just, I know some of you just came for the second time, maybe the first time today. Let me commend you that this is good soil. And there's something cool about a 70 years on one farm. You know, I think, again, we're in a progress mentality and a consumer mentality, and we tend to be like, well, you know, more like a shop window. Like, where's the best tomatoes? Should I go to Aldi's? Or should I go to Trader Joe's? Or should I go to Rainbow? That's not the way you do church, I don't think. I think you do church by planting some seeds and watching them grow and then being part of the process and sometimes clearing some things and seeing some new things come. And there's a real joy. Okay, I've been here 35 years. 25 years ago, I was just telling Gene today, thank you for 1989. You asked me if I'd come and do a little bit of pastoring. So that was some part-time pastoring. 25 years ago, I became full-time assistant pastor. And then 22 years ago, he sent me to Africa. Actually, I was thinking about the Jacob. That, it was interesting you brought that up. The Jacob story has been interesting to me because I preached about Jacob when I was here, Bethel, the house of God. And Jacob went away for 20 years. And God did something there, and then he came back with a whole different Jacob and a whole different bunch of gifts that he brought. So sometimes God transplants us and moves us around, but it's great to have good soil to be part of and to be connected with and not just go where the sale is this year or where the church is really growing and they've really got something and the worship is something that isn't someplace else. So anyway, let me thank you, each of you who've stuck in here, even through this transition time when things maybe seemed a little fallow in some places. And also, what season is it overall for us? My guess is that we're here. It's springtime, right? We're entering in a new season. We had that fallow winter time where we weren't quite sure, but we were trusting God. Now, we still have some 70-year-old trees there, but I think there's springtime. There's some new things happening. What happens in springtime? Well, it's like having a baby. It's exciting, right? It's exciting not to sleep. It's exciting to have poopy diapers. Babies are exciting. They're also a lot of work. Spring is exciting. It's also a lot of work. It's a time when you have to do a lot of digging and planting and work. And you don't see the tomatoes yet. You don't even see this yet, right? So we have some work to do. We have some learning to do together. But I think it's springtime. It's time. Did you notice in the scripture, they went out armed for battle? And then it took them 40 years to get to the battle. It was only supposed to be a year, but it took them 40 years to get to the battle. And their children inherited the bows and spears that they went out with. It's time now Joshua is an exciting book, right? But you realize, whoa, now is the time when we got to enter in and do battle, right? We've had the manna time when God's taking care of us. Now is the time to enter in, do battle, and plow the fields and get ready for the next planting. Okay, John 12. Jesus comes in the welcomed as the King of Israel. Let's read in verse 20. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what Jesus is doing exactly, but it says now. Okay, let's read the end of this. So the Pharisees, Jesus comes in. The crowd was with him, and they remember that he raised Lazarus from the dead. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." And interesting, there were some people from the world. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew, Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." I was like, wait a second, how does this relate to these people want to see you? I'd like an appointment. And he says, well, the hour is for the Son of Man to be glorified. The connection is, it's time for things to move beyond the Jews. It's time for things to move to the whole world that's going after him. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Again, what hour is it in your life? Not what minute, but what hour is it in your life? I tell you the truth. And also, I want you to notice it's the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time of the judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world, Satan, will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. So Jesus here comes in as the king, and they're like, oh, the king is here. And he says, yes, now is the time. Just like we had in Joshua. Now is the time. This is the hour. He's no longer saying, it's not my time yet, not my hour. The hour for the Son of Man to be glorified. But he says he's going to be glorified when the kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies. That's not the way we do glory in America, right? This is where you get your publicist out and you go, did you see the video of the triumphal entry? Man, this is, think big things are happening. Let's put it on Facebook, right? But instead he says, the Son of Man is going to be glorified by dying. And he says, whoever serves must follow him in dying. Now his heart is troubled because this is what is happening, is dying. But interestingly, in John, the cross is a throne where they put on it the King of the Jews, where he's glorified, where he defeats Satan. And it's when he dies that glory comes. For us, we have to give up some things. We have to give up our life, our hopes and our dreams, and some things that we really were holding on to in order to enter into the this hour, this time. As a church, we'll have some things to that'll change, that have already changed. And some of us are already grieving for those things. We've been missing some things, right? Well, I mean, we miss Pastor Jim. I miss Pastor Jim. We miss some things about the way things used to be. For myself, I'm having to, you know, this has been a little bit, we've gone around the last few months to our churches, we've been in New York and Seattle and Wisconsin and Chicago and Minnesota, talking about the new plan and how we're going to be giving a quarter time to training East African ministers, but we're only going to be in Africa a few weeks a year. And that's been hard. And some of the churches have said, okay, well, we'll support some other missionaries then. And some places I've been seven times, and it's like, I'm not coming back here. It's been a little hard to give up that, to put to death the full-time missionary thing. I didn't realize when my kids graduated, I was also graduating from being a professor in Dr. Rasmussen. You know, that's a little hard to give up that trajectory that took me a while to get there. And I enjoyed having my kids around. But Justin and Rachel and Isaac graduated, and they have moved on to other things. They're all moving in a week to Africa. So what was with that? I thought, how come we're coming here and they're going there? I thought that we sent our kids off to McAllister to prepare the way so we could come back. No, Hannah's already back in Nairobi. And so there are some things that die before some new things are born. Now, I'm not here as the new pastor to kill anything, okay? I don't have any big visions for how we're going to be a different church. I like the vision we have. I hope we'll continue it, and yet there's going to be some places. If we turn over to John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, like this tomato plant, and my Father is the gardener. So I'm not going to kill anything, but who knows what the gardener is going to do? Because it says he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, that doesn't bring justice. If you think about the Israel passages in the Old Testament. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So none of these branches on this plant are going to bear any fruit unless they're attached to the vine, right? No tree branch is going to bear apples if it's not connected to the trunk, right? Because it's got to be getting the nourishment from that good soil. So what we need to do is remain in Jesus. And our focus needs to be glory to Jesus. It doesn't really matter what I get called. Pastor Steve is, I remember when I was in class in Nairobi, and one of my American students sort of just off the cuff called me Pastor Steve. I was like, hey, Pastor Steve, I haven't heard that for so long. It felt great. And I put a reverend on my name, and I was part of the Chapel and Spiritual Formation Committee to be by pastor self. But I was usually Dr. Rasmussen. And that's okay to let that part die and to be Pastor Steve again. And I'm enjoying that. But it's time now to enter into the new season. And here's the thing. What I'm trying to insinuate is that every new beginning also has some ending and some dying, and maybe some fallow time when things are kind of confusing and in neutral and we don't really know what's happening, some composting time. Between this season and that season, there's usually a ending and a composting and a beginning. And sometimes it doesn't all happen at the same time. There may continue to be a few endings. We're excited about the new beginnings. But the point is that when we enter in to this time, the Father and the Son will be glorified. We're not entering into a season for Pastor Steve or Pastor Andrew to be glorified. We're not entering into a season for Bethel Christian Fellowship to be, or the All Nations Family of Churches or whatever, to be glorified. We're entering into a season for the Son of Man, Jesus, to be glorified. And we're entering into a season for the Father to be glorified in a new way. It's the time. It's going to require some death and some deadness and some new beginnings. It's going to require some digging and some work and some learning. But we're connected to the vine. And we've got a good gardener who knows which things to prune back. Now, there's some things in our lives that we need to cut off because they're not bearing fruit. We need to get rid of them, right? And then there's some good things that are good, but God might prune them back a bit. So my invitation today is for you, whatever season you're in whichever part, to let the gardener do his work. Okay? Let him cut off the sinful parts. Increase your trust so you can enter into the things that really need to happen. The new season. See, that's the thing. I don't want to be holding on to the old stuff when it's time to enter into the new thing, right? I don't want to be so, Egypt was good. Whether that's sinful or it's just the last season. I don't want to be hanging on to Egypt when God's telling me to go into Canaan, right? And on the other hand, I don't want to chuck anything that's good. You know, I don't want to say, the year's over. We've got to cut down all the trees. No, we're going to let some things grow. And there's going to be some things we need to dig up and go into. And I hope that you allow God to do that in your life, in different areas of your life, in the soil in your life. You're going to be releasing some stuff. I'm going to release some stuff. That's been some of what this time is about, is just the internal transition. There was change already happening, but internally for me to say, you know what? This is good. Letting go of that's good, and this is a new season of good stuff. And letting go of my kids, sending Rachel to Nairobi to do some literacy training, and Justin back to Uganda for his medical research stuff. Isaac's going to Ghana for a kind of a study abroad and a irrigation project there. I don't know how this happened, that we're next to McAllister, where our kids are always looking for some place to stay, and they're all going to Africa. It might have had something to do with their parents, you know. I don't know who else you blame. But and I did it to my parents, so I can't complain too much. But we need to release. So there was a season when each of these kids and Hannah were up here with us, and they were babies, and we were dedicating them to God and dedicating them to the destiny that he had for them. We didn't know what that was going to be like. And then there's a new season of dedicating them to God and the destiny he has for them. And we've been at some graduation open houses this week. Some of you graduates are moving on into new stuff, new seasons. You got all the awards and it's all up on the wall and you got that diploma. And now you get to put that in the drawer. Have a summer, and then start all over in something else. I know. That's kind of the way it goes. These guys went off to Northwestern, and nobody knew who they were. They weren't any of their awards. They were just a new student. And each of us enters into places where we're new students. I'm a new lead pastor. I don't know if you guys got this before that unanimous vote, but I've never been a lead pastor before. You should have checked my CV. Sorry to tell you that now, but you didn't do due diligence yourself. So it's a new season for me. I've got some new learning to do. And you'll have some new learning to help me figure out how to do this. And we're going to learn from each other. And we're going to learn from the master teacher, right? And we're going to learn where he's going to take us. We're going to let the gardener do his thing. and till some things and fertilize some things, and we're going to let some composting happen, and we're going to be entering into this new spring with new growth that God's going to do. And we're going to have a prayer time now for the elders are going to come up and pray together with this new season. I think we'll have Ned Brubikub as well, who is one of our external advisors. Pastor Ned, if you'd come.
Elders, come on up.
And let me just pray while they're coming for all of us. Father, thank you that you are a good gardener, that you know when to dig up, when to let something rest so it can gather energy, when to plant, when to weed, when to let it rot. And we trust you with our lives and the different areas of our lives. We trust you with our church, this church family. We thank you for new babies. We thank you for graduates who are finishing their childhood. We thank you for new seasons and transitions into new seasons. Lord, we thank you for this year, since Pastor Jim preached his last sermon here, that you've been with us, guided us, helped us to come to this time with joy, with excitement. We thank you for the way that you've especially helped the other leaders here, Pastor Andrew and Pastor Ben. We bless him and his family on their sabbatical in that season, and Cherry and others who have done so much work, the elders who've stepped up, the ministry coordinators and everyone here who has continued on. Lord, we thank you for another new spring. For this body of 90 years in this farm, we pray that you would produce good fruit for your glory. And Lord, we pray for each person in this congregation. God, lead each one to hear from you what you want to do in this season in their lives, if it's a season of growth, if it's a time between seasons and a transition, a death and composting and new planting season time. I just pray that you would do your work, Lord. We ask for your hand in each of our individual lives and our families and our church. Only you can do it. Apart from you, we can do nothing. We can bear no fruit except by you. And we want no fruit except what you produce in us. Amen.
So we're going to, as elders, we're some of the elders, we're missing a couple of them, but we are going to pray our congregation through this transition for just a minute, and we're going to pray about some of the other groups and people that are affected. So Ken, he's our head elder here, he is going to pray for TEAM. TEAM is the acronym, stands for Training East African Ministers. That's the ministry that Pastor Steve and Jan have been leading, and they're going through a great big transition. That whole ministry is going through a transition. So Ken is going to pray for that, and we're going to agree with him as he prays for TEAM.
Thank you, God. Thank you for what you've been doing with TEAM the past 22 years, Lord. We remember 1995 when we had that farewell service for Pastor Steve and Jan, and we had no idea at that time the breadth of what you had in store and what you had planned. And as we look back and we see how you grew that ministry, Lord Jesus, and you've done so much, Lord, that to help change the face of Tanzania and Kenya and beyond in Africa, Lord. And so we thank you, God, for what you've done, and we pray, Jesus, that as Pastor Steve and Jan enter this transition now, Lord, we pray that You'll give them your grace for the parts that they have to release, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you will prosper the work that you continue to do through them in relationship to that. And Lord, we pray for growth, Lord Jesus, in the hearts and lives of the people who are being trained to serve you there at Lake Victoria Christian College, Lord. And so we pray your blessing, Jesus, and your guidance and your ministry and your grace. And thank you, Jesus. Amen.
The Rasmussens are going through a big transition. So Sarah, if you guys want to just come up quickly, and Sarah is going to pray for the Rasmussens as they go through their major transitions. So,
Lord, we thank you so much for the Rasmussen family, and want to pray a special blessing over Jan. And Lord, I just want to say out loud that we do not put on her expectations or burdens that are not from you, that we want her to be the fullness of who you've called her to be, that there be no yoke on her that's not easy or light. Pray that she'd be released into the fullness of her callings and giftings, both as a ministry spouse, as a mom, as a teacher, as a academic, as a leader. And I pray that both in the house and out of the house, that she would feel free to be what you've called her to be, released fully into the ministry you've given to her. And she would feel deeply loved here and cherished. And I pray that she would feel that she gets to be who she is, that she's not supposed to be like Annette or people before her, that we don't put those spouse expectations on her. We just release her to be who she is, and we bless her in the name of Jesus, and we say yes mm-hmm. to your gifts and calling in her. We're so grateful for her, and what a flourishing woman of God that she is. Mm-hmm. And we pray blessing over Hannah, Justin, Rachel, and Isaac. We pray for Hannah and Justin as they're living in Africa full-time and in their young adult years of transition and figuring out what's next. We just ask that you would lead and guide. You'd open all the right doors, close all the right doors, that you'd lead them into the relationships you want for them, the employment you want for them, the connections, that they would be kingdom people doing your work, Lord. And we pray for Rachel and Isaac in this season of being in college and traveling back and forth and learning. We just pray that they would be a light at Northwestern and in Africa and in all their comings and goings, that they would know how treasured they are, and they would feel grounded and rooted in you, and they would be discovering what you have for them in this next season. And we just bless the Rasmussens in the name of Jesus.
And of course, we need to all agree together in praying for Pastor Steve. So Peg is going to pray for Pastor Steve. And let's all, by the way, if you haven't been doing it yet, you do need to know what one of your duties, yes, there are actual duties for being part of this church. One of your duties is to pray for your leadership. That's one of the things God's called you to be here. You're not just a passive recipient of religious goods and services. You are called to the duty of prayer for leadership. So,
Father God, thank you. Thank you for Steve, God. He's a good farmer. Thank you for bringing us a good farmer. Thank you for bringing us a farmer that knows these fields and this soil. Thank you for bringing us a farmer that is not thrown by the appearance of oncoming storms. Thank you that we have a farmer with wisdom and humility to know that he can't control those storms. Thank you, Lord, for protection over this farmer's life, this man's life, God, that you would preserve him and bring him to this point, to us, to this new position and this new place, this new authority, and this new chance and opportunity to grow the fallow ground, to trim back the hedges that hinder light, to encourage nutrients in the soil, and to celebrate the harvest seasons as they come and as they go. Lord, thank you for the longevity of your faithfulness in his work, in his life, in his faith. Thank you for being so near him. Thank you for being with him in the dark nights and in the waiting and in the fear that the rain would not come and the fear that the hail would pelt the tender seedlings that are so carefully sown, Lord, all of those anxieties, God. In his humanness, he cries out to you, and you have been faithful. Thank you for the richness and the fruit of his life. God, we see the evidence of your tilling and the excavation of his seasons and the years of his life as a husband and a father in the work that we have never, the work that we haven't seen, the things that he's done in secret, God, that has pleased you, the things he's done at great personal cost to please you with his life and to give back everything that you've given to him, God. We thank you for this. We thank you for the model of integrity and capability and humility and open-heartedness in this man that you've called to be our new farmer and our new leader, our new pastor, our new guide and our shepherd, Lord, all of these hats, Lord. Thank you that he trusts you. Call us faithful as a congregation to pray for him, to lean in to him and his family, God, when things are hard, to acknowledge his humanity and his need of you, to not place unfair and unreasonable expectations on him, to remember that he is a person, he is a man, and that he's fallible, but that he has been charged with your great confidence, the great confidence that you have in yourself through Steve Rasmussen, our pastor, Dr. Reverend Steve Rasmussen, in Jesus' name.
And lastly, we're all going through a transition. And so Tom is going to pray for all of you. If you could lay hands on yourself. No, but enter into part of your job is to pray for the whole body. And so Tom is going to lead us in praying for the whole body.
Father, I thank you for the people who have been in this congregation for many years. I thank you for the ones who have just arrived, Lord, and for the ones who have been continuously serving here, Lord God. And so, Lord, I thank you for the giftings that you've given each person here, Lord, to serve you, to serve this body. And I pray, Lord, as a congregation, that we would continue to encourage one another, that we would continue to come alongside one another when there's a need, that we would continue to look toward our pastor, our new pastor now, Lord, and have the same serving spirit, Lord, that this church has had for many, many years, Lord. And we want to do that with Pastor Steve, Lord. We want to hold him up, Lord God. We want to encourage him when he needs encouragement, Lord. And we want to serve with him, Lord, as he receives direction from you and as we as a body receive direction from you, Lord. So help us, Lord. Strengthen us, encourage us, Lord, as we all have a heart to serve you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are, Lord, and what you're doing in this body. So we praise you now, we exalt you, we glorify you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people. I pray your blessing and your fruitfulness upon your people. Lord, each individual here, may you bless them May you fertilize them. May you send good rain in their lives. And may you make them good fruit. Lord, we have a thirsty and hungry world that is around us. God, help us to produce the fruit that they need to see, to produce justice and righteousness and love. And Lord, I pray your blessing, your grace, your growth on us as individuals and as a people. Amen. Go now in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father, to be blessed and to be a blessing in this community and beyond. Amen.
Lord, we thank you that yours is the kingdom and the power forever and ever. Thank you that we can belong to you. Thank you that you have made us a place in your family. We are so grateful to live in you. Our life is in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.